the River Styx at Duff's poetry series. My name is Michael Castro. I'm the director of the series. And tonight we have a program that is a collaboration between River Styx and the Washington University International Writers Center, an organization which has recently celebrated its first birthday and has already established itself as a major literary force in bringing outstanding literary artists to this city. And we're happy that this program is part of their and our activities. Among the things that they are involved in are readings. Robert Coover, who is a board member of the International Writers Center, read last night in Steinberg Hall. River Styx will co-sponsor with them the visit of the African writer Wole Soyinka November 22nd, which is something that you should put on your calendar. Speaking of calendars, one of the activities the Writers Center has taken on is to issue a St. Louis literary calendar, something that's been sorely needed as literary activity proliferates in this town. And copies of that are available on our book table, so you might take one on your way out. And the address on there is the address of the International Writers Center, so by sending them your name and address, you can get on their mailing list. Tonight's program will feature poet Lauren Cuoco, our visiting writer from Israel, Anton Shamas, and our own William Gass. And they will read in that order. We'll take short breaks in between each one. So we've got a lot of literature coming our way tonight, so I won't speak very long. I do want to call your attention to a benefit for River Styx magazine, which is also in its 16th year, which is coming up on Halloween, and it is a Halloween benefit. It will feature three actors, John Griselli, Tim Hendrickson, and John Flack, reading from the works of that master of the scary tale, Edgar Allan Poe. In addition to the readings, hors d'oeuvres and a cash bar will be provided. Tickets for that event are available at the door from our door person and executive director, Ann Hawbrick, or at Left Bank Books from the staff there. And that date again is Monday, October 28th. Getting into tonight's program, we'll start with Lauren Cuoco, who is the associate director of the International Writers Center, and whose voice, if not face, may be familiar to you from your experience with St. Louis Radio. Her voice was one of the prominent voices on KWMU for many years until she joined the International Writers Center. I first met Lauren some time ago when she was still in her teens, actually, and a budding writer and radio person in the old KDNA radio station here in town. In fact, it was on KDNA where she debuted some of her own writing on the air. She studied at St. John's College in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and received a BA in Mass Communications from Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville. She is a former operations manager of National Public Radio, and she has filed stories on Morning Edition at All Things Considered and a show called Performance Today. She's also produced the NPR World of the Opera and many literary productions on radio, a show called Ars Poetica I was involved with her on KWMU. She did a radio play of Stanley Elkin's The Coffee Room. She's also published interviews with authors, other articles and her own poetry in magazines like St. Louis Magazine and River Styx. Although she's been a regular attendee of the Duff Series, this is her debut reading here. So please give a warm welcome to Lauren Cuoco.
Well, now that Michael has given you the news about my making my debut in St. Louis at age 17, I don't have to do it, but I will read a poem that dates from that time. Just an American Kid. Waking up in a strange bed after a night of my, after all these years, from never seen before relatives, I go to the window, look out onto new, and breathe an Oregon summer green. And know that I have no special merit. I'm just an American kid who played American games with American military brats on American military housing projects, called in by iconoclastic American mother, spanked by a service American father, ate American suppers, pleaded to go outside to play more American games. Unable, watched American TV. Two sisters were we. Went to sleep in our apartment housing bedrooms, dreamed significant American dreams, watched Bugs Bunny and our gang, went outside to play more American games, American Army, American Spud, refused to go into the house to use the bathroom for fear of being left out. Not abstaining from relieving oneself would have been un-American tactics and subject to disqualification from American hide-and-go-seek. No one is allowed to lag and survive. American work ethic. For America is the land of immediacy, America the new, where any girl can grow up to be Miss America, except if she's ugly, where anybody can be president. I don't know. I'm just an American kid, born in an American military hospital, on an American military base, raised in middle America, educated in the public school, laid to rest in between classes. Wordless. If one could live that way, I guess one could meet with fair progress, but rely on Promethean prowess to keep the thing molecular. To work a lot and pray for little, as if to sculpt, maybe whittle, a sphinx which has no riddle. A monument, simple, didacular. Made up of units so small, indivisible, a unit complete and unchristenable, the monument was blessed and is visible to those who see ventricular. Love among the loonies. My thoughts are with you tonight, Alcibiades. We saw the best minds in a generation walking the hall looking for a nursely fix. Your room, aseptically cleaned, has seen many since you, but none so brave, nor none so knowing, none able to admit insanity. There was your breeze just now, your ghost stalking the hall, remembrance of the one night they unshackled you. You wanted revelations, and I gave you Ezra Pound. There, once again, your shadow, breeze, ghost, and benign haunt. I think that you have thought it there only to taunt me as I sit here hallucinating, listening to the snores of the manics and the panics, the alcoholics and the horrors. Pump. Pretty as a woman tiptoeing to see that high-heeled foot, that slippered stance, that in any age is enough to make a lover liquidate all reserve, denounce all who have gone before, and solipsize once and for all. For lover baseball. I got the shortstop and I wanted the pitcher, though I never thought I'd play this game. But some teams, we're talking character flaws and a lack of Christian charity. Yes, even civilized baseball. Held captive by the mixed metaphor, we go for the profound like the pennant. And if I take baseball? It's the form of the game without epithalamium. I wasn't in the same league, but me, boycott baseball? Better to blaspheme the language and seek ennoblement through mitered eyes. We all know the rules. I'll wait out the ninth a cappella, so give me baseball. Oh, baseball, I wanted the pitcher and I got the shortstop. I had no business on the field of that honorable baseball existence. I cavorted and he used spit on that spheroid. But me, boycott baseball? Not on your life. Not on that shortstop's either. Oh, baseball, I traded my ticket for some metropolitan sacrament and a stolen heart record, and you let me try them all. Fast, split finger, curve. Oh, baseball, I blew the calls. I can break my own rules, but not baseball's. But there I was, Casey Stengling out in left field, for love, for baseball. Engagement. After calling each other dear in the pleasantest sort of way, Menelaus and Helen in a wink, Vladimir and Vera, Penelope and Odysseus, we need but insert the dream where only its glimpse resided and scrutinize the pleasures Shaw felt so guilty of. Poor Shaw, G.B. No, it has not much to do with love, as all the men say. But it is more fun. And is there more? And will the essays come? The postmortems? And is the sadness greater? This marriage to convenience wins converts and men's rue, does not erase scars, nor exalt romance or bring beauteous words. It's not that we didn't have a good beginning, but we don't have to go back. Can't. Won't. No wedding poems writ by unbelieving hand. The hand operates on faith. Motel rooms. Where the cleaning ladies change the sheets daily and replenish the matches. Where requests are small and simple and met. When breakfasts came whenever, after dreams of eternal breakfasts. We sat and faced each other and watched Saturday morning cartoons. From Santa Fe, where we cried together, to New Orleans, where we were sick together, from toasted cheese to lobster, to all the places where we bathed together. We managed. We excelled. No hay fever, no headaches. We saw each other all day long and liked it. You even looked at goddamn goblets with me. You were your loveliest then, my dear. Motel rooms suit us. So ends the love poem, sweet. To what we think significant in the death of a woman. Oh, and speak to me of the finality of woman, Mother Plath. Those long poems and thesaurus words belie certain actions. Is this what you need? You took it pretty far, but not far enough, though your resourcefulness was the most resourceful. That ostensive pleasure from nurturing might have been poems instead. Oh, rain tears on the womb of my house. Woman's tears, of course, with baby's breath as fen. The first line is all. Was it the 50s that killed you, or vodka of quiet? Perhaps there were too many similes. Born on Thomas's birthday, 18 years later, married on Ulysses' day, died in the house of Yeats. Can there be too much significance? Was it only for want of lithium, or an imbalance in the metaphysic? Oh, Lady Lazarus, we love our dead poets, you told us that, but where is your middle-aged equal? One who has tamed anger, retired resentment, and consigned those constructs to be read forever. Your exercises were exemplary, Mother Plath, and your deed existential. Any pleasure in the walls beyond all that scenery? Down below? We'll mime the metaphor. After From a Journal of the Year of the Ox by Charles Wright, The New Yorker, April 27th, 1985, quote, one, and by one. Two words. No, not a chord, not Shakespeare. But Mr. Wright, another poet, poet and by making has, with two words, has made, with 1/8 and a half haiku, made something coined eons ago. What's probability anyway? A mere two words, not conjoined in the same way before, so we say. So we believe when a poem with as much virtue as the next, and on this vernal equinox, yes, exactly 9:02 p.m., that from a magazine 6 years ago says, sweet air, and we have never known such air. March 20th, 1991, 9:01 p.m. Searching for the white knight after a trip to the Venice Cafe with Glenn Savin, after which we drive very slowly to my house where we recite The Walrus and the Carpenter with some help from the book located conveniently nearby. As you may have discerned from another poem I read, I worked in a mental ward my way through college. And there is a book that was the Psychiatric Dictionary, which must have been edited by Freud. Why else would a clitoris be defined as the absence of a penis? But I found other great words. One was iatrogenesis, which is a condition that is brought on by a doctor treating another condition. And then the title of this poem, which is a German word for a documented ailment. Whether it happened more than once, I don't know. But they named it, so it doesn't matter. Which is a condition when you literally die laughing. And it is Lachschlag-Anfeld. What is this disease? To read torment for moment, arts for arms, enormous for anonymous, separates for consecrates, as in Pope separates giant basilica in Africa. My dogberry idiopathy, this cruel form of nearsightedness, they don't make the kind of bifocals I need. Contagious for courageous, voluptuary for voluntary, extinction for extension, whiners for winners, bedroom for barroom, perfumed for performed, perhaps like Popeye, I'm in a subterrane or a London frog. Fresh donuts for fresh doubts, almost news for alumni news. Hotel lawyers can make divorces less painful for how lawyers. Vatican for Victorian, pleasure for picture as in an editor and publisher of innovative pleasure in textbooks. Hemingway for highway. Psychographic for photographic. Molarity for morality. Fondling 2000 in Kentucky for Ford idling. 2000 in Kentucky, or was it fond idling? Bartender for bystander. Vegetarian for veterinarian. Mutilated for multi-talented. Metaphoric for metamorphic, the compost of strangers, the endangered florist, monkey business systems for modern business systems, suicidal for satirical, poetically correct. And in this very spot, red with ring and nipple for Miss Rossetti's ripple, heavy persons for heavy periods, as in, well, you get the picture. Shall we name it? Malapropitis, a cataract's revenge, this non-metaphoric myopia, the writer's iatrogenesis. I will only read a section of this. Famous writers edit E.B. White in an approach to style with a list of 21 reminders. Number 3, work from a suitable design, Apollinaire. 4, write with nouns and verbs, Ernest Hemingway. 9, do not affect a breezy manner, John Barth. Use orthodox spelling, James Joyce. Avoid fancy words, Vladimir Nabokov. And 20, avoid foreign languages, T.S. Eliot. There is a, I don't know if it's fairly famous, it was famous where I went to college, but a Latin quote that I imagined that was like Veni, Vidi, Vici, but maybe it's not. Anyway, the Latin quote is post coitum omnia animalium trista sunt, and it is translated, after sex, all the animals are sad. And I hope by the time I get to the end of this poem, you'll be able to know the Latin that I use it at the end. Self-portrait. 1. I am putting pins in my hair, hoping that I can tie it up. I keep thinking it will get thinner and that buns will be possible. But at 30, that's like thinking I will get thinner. It has something and all to do with expectation. But these bangs won't do. And if I keep them, I have to do something with the rest, like put it up. 2. I don't want to be carded anymore. I have earned my age. I am not flattered. I wonder if Mona Van Dyne does her own bangs. When I do it, I feel positively powerful, particularly after wearing black the week of my 30th birthday. Vanity is not much a part of youth. The truly vain are old. They are 30. 3. I recall that as a child, I had an out-of-body experience while looking at myself in the mirror. As an 11-year-old, I couldn't recognize myself. Didn't. Couldn't. But wait. Then. 4. I was unnaturally old. I recall the first time I had to laugh off an older man. My first champagne, a wedding reception. The champagne was pleasant, the man not. I thought him foolish and stupid to flirt with a 12-year-old. I laughed at him instead of telling him to go to hell. My methodology remains the same. I slipped through his fingers. It was my first lesson in patience and its effect on passion. 5. Post trigentum omnia animalium trista sunt. Thank you very much.